The tipping point for major change is often tragedy. That may be the case here in California at the State Psychiatric Hospital in Napa. That's where an employee named Donna Gross was murdered by a patient last fall. Her killing was one of thousands of violent acts at the hospital that year. We're going to be talking about rising violence in California's psychiatric hospitals this morning and tomorrow with NPR's Ina Jaffe, who joins us here at NPR West. Good morning, Ina.
Good morning, Renee.
Let's begin with that murder of Donna Gross. Tell us who she was and how she died.
She was a psychiatric technician at Napa Hospital. She'd been working there for 14 years, and she was coming back from a break late one afternoon, walking on the hospital grounds, and she ran into a patient named Jess Massey. You know, you have to understand, Napa's not a prison. It's a hospital. It's got a series of low-rise buildings on a sort of campus-like setting. And like a lot of patients at Napa, Jess Massey had a pass that allowed him to walk around on the grounds behind the security fence unsupervised. So, allegedly, he cornered Donna Gross between a couple of buildings, attacked her, stuffed dirt in her mouth, which kept her from screaming, and strangled her. And he's pleaded not guilty.
And was there no warning that he was dangerous?
Oh, sure. He had a criminal history, including aggravated sexual assault, armed robbery, and attempted murder. But, you know, these days that's not unusual at Napa. More than 80% of the patients come there by way of the criminal justice system. They're considered incompetent to stand trial, not guilty by reason of insanity, or just too dangerous and mentally ill to be paroled to the community. You know, 20 years ago, hardly any of Napa's patients were criminal commitments. And staffers complained that this hospital just wasn't designed to deal with the patients it's now serving. So since Donna Gross's death, Napa employees have staged demonstrations in front of the hospital.
What do we want?
Finding people in this crowd who'd been attacked by patients turned out to be easy. Chris Cullen is a psychiatric technician.
Yeah, I just got punched in the face by an individual. I was protecting him from an assault when he punched me.
Zach Hatton is a recreation therapist.
I was punched in the face about a year and a half ago, and then my wrist was twisted up pretty badly and just has never healed.
Dr. Richard Frischman is a psychiatrist who'd been interviewing a new patient.
And he came flying across the table. Fist flying. He was able to hurl me against the wall where I struck my head and fractured my wrist.
As someone who is there to help make people better, what's it like when you're also afraid of those people?
You have to be able to separate your own traumas from the moment. And if you can walk away at the end of the day and feel that you've helped those truly in need of help, that seems to outweigh the risks that we currently take.
So you're able to just put that out of your mind?
My girlfriend would say no.
There are statistics to support these stories. Here's just one example. In a six-month period ending in early 2009, patients in Napa committed 75 physically aggressive acts against staff. In the same period 1 year later, there were nearly four times as many assaults. These figures are from a report mandated by the Department of Justice. It also shows that patient-on-patient aggression more than doubled during that same time.
There is nothing therapeutic about what's going on here. Nothing at all.
That's the voice of a Napa patient. We weren't allowed to speak to any patients when we visited the hospital, so we reached him by phone. He fears retaliation, so we're not going to use his name. He says a relatively small percentage of predatory patients make violence and intimidation part of daily life.
So what do I do? Stay in my room. Because other than that, I don't, you know, I have no desire to be out in the unit fighting. I have no desire to be violent. I'm not a violent person. I'm just not.
At least not when he's on his meds. This patient was sent to the hospital after being arrested for assault and found incompetent to stand trial. But as he describes it, violence is almost inescapable at Napa. Like the night he heard an alarm go off in the hall outside his room.
So I got up, got out of my bed, and this guy was around here throwing garbage cans. And, you know, he looked at me and told me I needed to take my old ass back to bed and blah, blah, blah. And he attacked me, and I put 11 stitches in his head, but I broke my hand doing it.
That's the view from inside the security fence. In her office outside of the fence, Napa's executive director, Dolly Matucci, says that she wants nothing more than for her staff to be safe on the job. However,
there's an inherent
kind of risk in treating and working with individuals that are severely mentally ill. And I think all of our staff recognize that when they come to work here.
Matucci first came to work at Napa 20 years ago as a dietitian and rose through the ranks. She got her current job after Napa's previous chief executive was arrested on child molestation charges. He's since been convicted. Matucci says she welcomes the staff's renewed focus on safety.
I think that that is wonderful in terms of us all talking more pointedly about what the concerns are, what the recommendations are, and taking action.
Among the actions taken since Donna Gross's murder is the elimination of grounds passes like the one that Gross's alleged killer had. The campus-like layout of the hospital with foliage and walled courtyards between buildings provides too many places to hide. But staffers want more, and they're hoping state lawmakers can help.
First of all, just welcome all of you here. I'm just really glad that we have a lot of the staff from Napa State Hospital.
Assemblyman Mike Allen, a Democrat, represents the Napa area. The hospital's employees are his constituents, and a couple hundred were at a hearing he convened at a local community college. Allen said he was there to listen, and he did, to a two-hour saga of injury, anger, and grief. Brad Leggs, a psychiatric technician at Napa and a union rep, created an image to go with the words.
If I may, I would respectfully like to ask those in the audience to briefly stand up. If you've been injured or assaulted, or your coworker has been assaulted.
Nearly everyone stood, and that sight motivated the acting head of the Department of Mental Health to call a summit meeting to deal with safety issues at all of California's psychiatric hospitals. It was held last week at Napa, and it was picketed by staff, who say they don't need more meetings. They need action.
And Ina Jaffe's back with us now. Ina, what actions do they think need to be taken?
Renee, they want more security measures. Here's just one example. Right now, hospital police are stationed outside of the security fence. So if something goes wrong on one of the units, it takes them a while to get there. Employees want that to change. They also say that the current treatment plan is actually making things more dangerous. It came about as a result of a consent decree with the federal government, and it applies to four of California's five psychiatric hospitals. And that's one of the issues we're going to look at tomorrow.
NPR's Ina Jaffe, thanks very much.
You're welcome.